I said, "How is everybody doing?" Everybody says, "Good." That's good. For the people who are visiting, we're going through the book of Exodus, and right now we're in chapter 4. And Henry did a phenomenal job last week, didn't he? He really did. You know, I love following up after Henry. Most people don't like it because when someone's really good before you, you're just kind of a bit shy. But Henry really does call me higher when it comes to doing sermons, so I really appreciate his very best effort last week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to go through the book of Exodus and be a part of it, Father. I just pray that you're with me as I share my thoughts of chapter 4, and we pray this in the Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
So does everybody remember the movie Prince of Egypt?
Yeah.
Okay. Did anybody see it at the theater?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Same two people saw the movie theater. I guess we're dating ourselves, aren't we? Because I think the movie came out before Christopher was born. So, and actually, that's one of the first events, other than going to service, I went as a Christian. We, our congregation, which was very large, we rented a movie theater, and we all saw Prince of Egypt. And it was awesome. It was incredible. Nothing like being in a room full of disciples, being excited to see the story of Moses.
Yeah.
And I was a single parent at the time, and my son was sitting next to me, and he got up, and he walked down near the where his friends were, his new friends he had made, and he watched the movie with them, not with me. And I loved it. Because he was just getting totally acclimated to having this new family, this God family that we have. So, in the movie, The Prince of Egypt, really done really well, except they left out one minor detail, is that God decides somewhere along the way to kill Moses. Does everybody know that? So in the earlier chapters, we see that Moses was part of Egyptian royalty, and we saw that the oppression of his Hebrew brothers. He decided to rise up on his own power and deliver the Israelites, and end up committing murder. And Moses knew that it would be just a matter of time that he would be punished for that. And so he bolted. He left Egypt. Eventually, he was taken in by the Midianite family, and his future father-in-law was the leader of the Midianites. And he gave him his daughter, whose name is Zipporah. And for the next 40 years, Moses became a professional shepherd. So, sheep are kind of like people, aren't they? You know, it's, I don't know, you know what FOMO is?
Fear of missing out.
I don't know if the sheep have the same thing as we do. That's why we kind of like gather like sheep. We don't want to miss out on anything. So the lesson up to this point is when Moses tried to deliver the Israelites on his own power. Not only could he not do it, he made things worse. He was given every resource, benefit, privilege, education, power that a man at that time could be given. But he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Only when he depended on the Lord could Moses go back and rightly deliver God's people. So I've written down five principles from this chapter that we can apply to our own life so we can be best used by our Creator.
Amen.
Come on, Scott.
Principle number one. Human position, privilege, or education does not qualify a person to be useful to the Lord. Humility and our relationship to God does. I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, this Miss America, who 30 years old, ripe old age of 30, she had jumped to her death from a building. And she made a comment of being the oldest Miss America to ever win the title at age 28. And everything that could go possibly have in this world, she was a lawyer. I mean, she had everything going for her in this world, but yet she was a troubled soul. You know, contrast that life to a shepherd. An unemployed prince of Egypt. You know, God had plucked Moses from obscurity to be used powerfully to free a people from bondage and build a foundation for a new nation. If we are obedient to our God, our Creator, He'll do the same thing in our lives.
Amen.
So in chapter 4, Moses doesn't think that he's up to the task of leading his people. Moses feels that he's a bit unqualified to deliver millions of people from bondage. But God convinces him he can do it. Moses and his wife and children pack up their bags and their belongings and head to Egypt. And along the way, God decides to kill Moses. And they're like, what? What is he thinking? We're going to start with verse 1, chapter 4. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it onto the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. This was the staff of God. God asked to Moses to put his feelings, whatever apprehensions, to put them aside.
Yeah.
Yep.
God has experienced his sovereignty, expressing his sovereignty and his authority.
That's right.
We continue on here. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. So Moses has an affliction. Mm-hmm. And by God displaying this miracle, he shows his sovereignty. Mm-hmm. The first was the staff. The next was something a little bit closer to home, himself. You know, God is the great revealer. In John chapter 17, it says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. But God was presenting Moses and his purpose as holy. Just as God presented us and our purpose as being holy when we came out of the waters of baptism.
Amen.
Verse 8. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it onto the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. So, God is asking Moses to be his conduit, to make the case for his sovereignty to the Israelites and the power of the true God to the Egyptians.
Right.
In verse 10, it says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. He's trying to smooth him over here. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Now, for anyone who doesn't like speaking in public, which is most, we love this scripture. Even if you don't have the gift of the gab, anyone can be used powerfully if they're obedient to God.
Amen.
God doesn't mind a reluctant servant as long as you're willing to be a servant to him. In verse 11, the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them the sight or makes them blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So leadership doesn't have to be the most articulate or the loudest voice.
Right.
Right.
But leadership is the one who leads the charge.
Amen.
Which leads to principle number two. Our Creator is the one who knows what's best for us.
That's right.
We should submit to His plan daily to glorify Him. I mean, there is no substitute for time. Do we spend more than adequate amount of time with Him? Repent, all of you who forgive me. I will tear you apart and no one will help you. And that's Psalm 50. God gives us order to make the right decisions, to make the difficult decisions. You know, I always thought it was direction that I needed in my life. But I found that it was order in my life that was lacking. Mm-hmm. Spiritual order will give you direction. It isn't easy to find things when you have them in order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I grew up in outside of Los Angeles in a time where there was nothing but kids, horses, and dogs. And there was one grocery store in the whole area. Now there's, I don't know how many, can't count them anymore. There's like 7 high schools and there were only one. And there was only one hardware store to go to. And it had been in the family for generations. And it was probably the most disorganized establishment that anyone could patronize. But the owner knew exactly where each item was sold. But no one else knew. But he did. So eventually, because they had to, not so much they wanted to, they would switch to new management. The hardware store was rebuilt and reorganized. And the customer appreciated knowing that they could find whatever they were looking for by themselves. Everyone was productive. Everyone was happy. Now, Julia recently just had a transition. She left she's still working part-time at Pangea, but now she has more free time, and she just loves organizing. She loves organizing the house. This parts of our house is just, it's been neglected. Now it's organized, and she is happy because she can find where everything is.
Amen.
So verse 13, but Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help you. I will help you both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. Verse 18. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Well, Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt, and the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. God was preparing Moses to what was to come. God was setting up Moses and for his people for success. God's vision for our life from the beginning has been eternal. And we are limited what we can see for ourselves. He is limitless. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by. And that's Psalm 90. When I used to go hiking up in the Sierras, in California, you know, those things called mountains. You don't see too much. My father loved hiking, and he would take me along, and I would be reluctant, but I would go with him. And we would go up this hill, and I would think I would see the top, but actually, that top was just a ridge. Mm-hmm. There was 100 other ridges behind that, and the top of the mountain was even further. And God sees our journey and knows the challenges that are in front of us. We don't see them. In verse 22, then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go. So I will kill your firstborn son. So God's telling Moses to give Pharaoh a very dire warning, a personal warning. This shepherd is to give Pharaoh, a God king, a threat. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say that's bold.
Yeah.
But God is bold.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't play second to fiddle to anyone, especially someone who thinks of himself as a God. So God was using Moses to put Pharaoh in his place.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, them are fat words.
Yep.
That God handed to Moses. In verse 24 it says, and the lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. It's like a stunner. I forgot that that was there, that God was going to kill Moses. So why did God try to kill Moses? Well, he was upset that Moses had not circumcised his son on the eighth day. Moses had not obeyed the law of God. I mean, it's important that we follow God's direction. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? That's from Romans chapter 6. Moses was to be a leader of the new nation and a representative of God. And he hadn't circumcised his own son. Mm-hmm. He would be a law giver. Mm-hmm. And he was in disobedience to God. Mm-hmm. Now Moses neglected the commandment concerning circumcision, circumcising your son by the eighth day. So God sought to kill Moses. And Zipporah was just totally disgusted because she knew how important cutting the foreskin was. And because of her husband's neglect, it's always the husband, she circumcised their son. And the sons were far from being 8 days old. They were in their 20s. So, you would be upset too.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be upset too.
Mm-hmm.
So Zipporah was naturally disgusted and rightfully upset. Here a young man needed to be circumcised, which leads to principle number 3. Unrighteous people will not be used to represent a righteous God to others. God doesn't use anyone. Think about it. He doesn't use just anyone. And Moses was going to represent God, and he hadn't done what a righteous, diplomatic man of God would do, even with his own children. Like Moses, we are, everyone here calls Jesus Lord as an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do we pray for our character? Are we honest and forthright? If you have a certain character issue, try not to be in the godless environment where you know you will be tempted. Start verse 25. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone, and at that time she said, bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. So early on in Exodus, God was has very severe judgment. He's not a God to be trifled with.
Mm-mm.
If you're to deal with God, and if there's any error in your life that's out of step with Him, you better deal with it right away. Because He is a holy God.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does our sin affect God, but there can also be dire consequences for the ones around us. In Joshua 7, talks about Atkinson, who the Israelites were in battle, and he lost the battle because of one man's sin. And he ended up, the plunder, he ended up burying underneath a tent. And so they were saying, what happened? And God says, someone has sinned. So they called all the different tribes until they found out who that person was, which was Atkins. So not only did Atkins suffer by being stoned, they took his family, his livestock, everything he owned, and they stoned it. And there's still a temple there somewhere. But now if God did this all the time, none of us would be here, would we?
Nope.
But there's God's grace. But there are times when there's severe judgment as well. Mm-hmm. Be prepared to pay the consequences of your poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to principle number 4. God loves us enough to lead us focused on the righteousness instead of retaining us as a leader. God was willing to sacrifice his chosen one because of his lack of righteousness and disobedience to him.
Mm-hmm.
We see that in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, concerning Ananias and Sapphira. They dishonored God with their possessions, and God struck them dead early on, and God judges them rightly, therefore the sake of his people. So why did God want to kill Moses? Because Moses killed his affection for God. Principle number 5, Moses had lost his zeal for disobedience to God. And the Lord was not going to use a leader like that to deliver others. Moses was not serious in his walking in his own righteousness. As a result of that, he brought trouble to his own family, and it prevented God from using him. And that will always happen when you compromise your relationship with him. And again, we were not serious about the righteousness of God. It's not just God who is upset. It also hurts others.
Mm-hmm.
So set yourself from apart from the world, for we are the holy ones. Be kind and loving to one another. Give each other grace. Laugh and be full of joy and obedient to our Father. Listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Let him worry about what's over the next horizon and watch the wonders happen in your own life. God be the glory.
Amen. Amen.